Welcome to All Sides Weekend, Chefs in the City. I'm your host, Dan Fisher. Joining me by Zoom today are my co-hosts, WSU restaurant reviewers and bloggers, Steve Stover. Welcome, Steve.
Hello.
Yay. And Rich Turepek Sr. Welcome, Rich.
Thanks, Ann.
We're getting an early start helping you plan for the next holiday meal on July 4th. Joining us also by Zoom today, two guests. Starting with Wylands Market owner Jennifer Williams. She is a fourth-generation grocer. Her father founded the independent Clintonville Market with George Wyland in 1961. Welcome, Jennifer Williams.
Thanks for having me.
Kent Rand is the cheesemonger at Wylands. He oversees more than 200 artisan cheeses from Ohio, across the U.S., and 30 countries around the world. Welcome, Kent.
It's nice to be here. Thank you.
Okay, so far so good. We've got everybody. The control room, it's all, you know, high-fiving. So a busy day today, Jennifer Williams. But before we turn to the holiday and what you have in store at Wylands, tell us how the last 3 months have been in terms of just adjusting to the pandemic, the changing shopping habits, and so forth.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, how nice it would be to just talk about food versus the pandemic, but mm-hmm. here we go. Mm-hmm. We have been super, super, super busy. I tell people it's like changing the tires on a car going down the freeway at 80 miles an hour, where you're like, stop, let me get it situated, because you've got, you know, double the volume, worried about everybody's health, worried of employees and the team and customers, worried about how to comply with government, requirements, which we like to think we go above and beyond. The food supply, everybody started baking bread, yeast, and ground meats, right. And you know, everybody started, you know, homesteading. I guess, churning butter and making quilts. I don't know what was going on out there. So everybody is just, you know, stressed out. The business has slowed a little bit. But I'll tell you, emotions are running high. As I will say the M word, which is portion of our show here. Masks were a politicized, and it's getting more and more that way. And it's very unfortunate. And that's about that, unless you want to ask me other questions. But we're, you know, our team has risen to the occasion. We're hanging in there, proud of everybody. Precautions and being a smaller store, people are coming here more. Customers, they feel more comfortable with us than the corporate store. So it has been a ride. It's been a ride, and I'll tell you, I'm afraid it's not nearly over.
Yeah, exactly. That is Jennifer Williams. She's owner of Wylands Market in Clintonville, and we're talking about what to eat for the 4th of July this year. Also with us, Kent Rand. He's cheesemonger at Wylands. And of course, my co-host for All Sides Weekend, Chefs in the City, Steve Stover, and Rich Turepek Sr., both WSU food and restaurant bloggers. Check out their work. Their prolific work on our website at WOSU.org. Later on in the program, we're going to talk about the news in the restaurant industry locally. But right now, we want to talk about, ways to maybe lighten the load, maybe pick up prepared foods, that kind of a thing. And Kent Rand, I'm wondering if of course, it's hard because we're all on Zoom right now, so it's hard for everybody to chime in at the same time, but I'll just kick off with Kent and then invite Steve and Rich to chime in. Kent, how's the cheese business doing these days?
Oh, boy. It's like the weekend before Christmas every single week, not just the weekends. It used to be a time where you could slow down on Mondays and Tuesdays, catch your breath, and start putting in your orders for the weekend and have a few days to get everything in order. But unfortunately, change our rhythm a little bit here to accommodate everybody. Blessed with here, though, is not being a chain store where like Kroger's and them have to use their own transportation. We're lucky that we can use whoever we want to get stocked.
Okay.
And one of those stockers, of course, are cheese makers, and most of them deliver here at Wylands.
Okay.
We have a really good rapport with them because Wylands is the only retailer in the area that is a cheese guild. And we've been a member ever since started back in 2013. So being so, we kind of get first any new artisan cheeses that are coming out in the state of Ohio. And Ohio, one of the cheeses just in Italy last year at the World Cheese. Everybody's talking about the blue cheese up in Oregon. Talking about the cheese from right here in in Cincinnati, that one third cheeses entered in the world. And that was from my artisano in Cincinnati. And we carry that cheese here along with 12 other dairies here in Ohio. So we can reach out to whatever distributors we need to reach out to done in the shelf stock.
Listeners, we know that the sound is cutting out periodically. We're trying to figure out what's going on, so please stand by and just bear with us. I think we're getting most of the important keywords from Kent Rand. You know, it was happening with Jennifer Williams, too. I'm not quite sure. Steve, do you want to kick it off here?
Well, I'm looking forward to the holidays because we're on a week early, but next week is the 4th of July. And I'm sure there will be some social distancing gatherings to go to. Although Rich and I will be at home with our rocking chairs with a blanket over our knees for the holiday.
Right. I doubt it. So Jennifer Williams, tell us about what's prepared, what's good to get prepared at a grocery store, you know, what you recommend for people who want some help, you know, getting the holiday going.
I could talk about, and it's quite lengthy, so I'm going to try to, you know, a little bit. So a lot, we are always good. I mean, people in Colombia, mayonnaise based salads for the holidays and all the time. So we make potato salads. We have multiple kinds. We make our own chicken salad with Gerber chicken, which everybody knows is delicious. So some of that can get you a jump start. A lot of stores do not make their own deli do that, which is, I think, notable. We also have a really, really good deli salad or dips options. One of the cool ones is Mad Sweet Heat is candied jalapenos. It's made in Springfield.
Yeah.
One of our cooks, Mike is from Springfield. So he came up with a recipe using the, you can buy them in a jar. You can buy them in our dip. Mike from the cheese mixes it with this Mad Sweet Heat and you get kind of a spicy deliciousness to put on burgers or crackers or, I mean, people bake it in chicken. It's really fantastic. So that's a really great one. A once in a lifetime mac and cheese. Because we take the deli ends, mix them all with, I mean, who doesn't love macaroni and cheese? So once in a lifetime, because the combination of the cheese all the time. So that's kind of fun.
You know, do you do the French potato salad?
We don't. We have many. No, we, most of our customers enjoy a mayonnaise based, and they do. We do have a German that we make.
A German potato salad, you said?
Yes, okay. A German.
Yep.
And so we also do a dill potato salad now for summer. Cool. We've got options.
Lots of
options.
Sounds like
it. Sounds great. One of the things I guess we can't forget, this is a celebration, the 4th of July, and that should require some wine, which you guys have a pretty good stock of.
Yes, they do.
Talk about that.
Jennifer?
Yeah, Kent is going to cover the wine portion.
Oh, okay. Go for it, Kent.
Okay.
Okay. Can you hear me better now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Well, of course, let's go with local cheeses. And comes down to the terroir of a region. A good rule of thumb. Sorry, something was going on in the background there. So a terroir is in the soil, the land, and what the animal that's giving the milk, the cheese is made, is, it all takes that into consideration when a cheese, the flavor of the cheese at the other end, the same wine, all that grapes that are growing, and that all imparts the flavor into the wine at the final product. So it goes to figure that a wine from one region is going to be good with the cheese from the same region.
Okay.
So we have some wonderful cheeses, wines from Kincaid Ridge. We stock, that's from down by the river. And a couple of their wines, they have dry white wine. It's called Treminet. And we just got in a unpasteurized milk Camembert or Brie from Osage Lane Creamery. Now, Emma Stout, she has her own flock. Her husband helps her make, started making cheese years ago, kettle on top of her stove, and now she's got a production going, but she only makes unpasteurized. Now, okay. A reason why an unpasteurized Brie is so here at Weiland's Market is possible to get in unpasteurized or raw milk Brie's from Europe, because here in the United States, unpasteurized cheeses must be 60 days before we can. So I get this unpasteurized Camembert from Emma Stout on day after it's been
so the it's day as after fresh it's as ready. Yeah.
Unpasteurized is always a lot more flavorful than pasteurized. And that together with that Treminet wine is something I hate to use. It's true. It's just lovely together.
Well, can't
Anne, this is Jennifer. Do you want, I've got our beverage manager gave us also options for some beer cocktails, mead ideas.
Well, let's get to that after the break. We're going to make some changes here. And so standby crew for those and listeners. If you have some ideas about what works for the 4th of July holiday when it comes to food this year, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You're listening to our All Sides Weekend Chefs in the City on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides Weekend Chefs in the City. I'm your host, Ann Fisher, along with my co-hosts and WSU restaurant and food bloggers, Rich Terapak Sr. and Steve Stover. We're talking about summer cooking and food today in advance of the July 4 holiday. Still with us, Weiland's Market owner, Jennifer Williams, and also working on getting Weiland's Market cheesemonger, Kent Rand, back. Jennifer Williams, you wanted to talk about beer and cocktails.
How is that any better?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. So Patrick's our beverage manager. I asked him for some ideas. He gave me some ideas. Jackie O's makes a great summer beer. Who cooks for you? Urban Artifact down in Cincinnati is making a key lime sour beer. Then they're moving on to a dill pickle flavor, very limited supplies.
Now, okay, cocktails. That's interesting.
I know. And it's, I was like, oh, okay, intriguing. I assume they know what they're doing, so I'm interested in that. Well, we shall see. Dills or pickles are very hot right now. And then also Zenby Mead, if you want something a little bit different, they make a carbonated mead. And then Seventh Son is doing it's called Kitty Paw, which is a seltzer. So you don't have to drink that other one, whatever that's called. There's key lime, pineapple, tangerine, raspberry. Oh. So that's kind of different.
Yeah, and these are non-alcoholic?
Oh, they're alcoholic.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. We have okay. non-alcoholic, but oh, no, I won't toy with you on the, I mean, there is non-alcoholic, but yeah, these are, yeah, instead of, you know, the word that starts with white on the seltzers, you can buy, get local stuff.
Right. It's White Claw, and it's.
No, I know. I know. I just didn't want to, you know.
That's okay.
It out loud.
and well, I just wanted to tell you that apparently it's outselling seltzers are outselling beer and in many cases wine. It's flying off the shelves of the distributors.
It's up 700%.
That's all.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, and there's all kinds of cocktails that are interesting too, and we have got local simple syrups and all that, so you don't have to just drink, you know, a regular sort of run of the mill 4th of July beverage with alcohol.
Jennifer, I know I had to inform Steve of the attached liquor availability to the store. I don't know if that's owned by you as well, but I got to commend anybody who is putting together the inventory. You have the most extravagant selection of vermouth of anybody in town. Also bitters and any of the aperitifs like Aperol or
yep.
Campari, etc. All good for some light cocktails.
Yep, that liquor agency, we've had it since 2006. It's owned by Weiland. So I always tell people we get the best stuff that the state is bringing in, being a control state. So, you know, we do,
you really
we do.
Do
the best we can and all that. So
why don't others do more of that? It's just they're going for volume, Jennifer?
Well, yes. I mean, not to go into too fine of a detail here, but the commission on liquor, hard liquor through the state of Ohio is 6%, which is not great. So we lose money on liquor. It makes us obviously a more well-rounded store. So we accept that. But a lot of the other stores that do it, that's why you don't find a lot of people working in the liquor agencies of big box stores, because they don't make it that much money on it or really anything. So we just, you know, my thing is like, I want us to be great at everything. So I want us to have a great beer, wine, spirits, everything. So it's volume. And then I will tell people, the more stuff you buy, the special releases, the scarce bottles that we get, the more you buy here, the more we get. So they send it where they can sell it. So that's really good. It just starts the cycle of you buy it, we can get more.
Right.
That's great.
Okay. All right.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Yep.
Steve.
Well, I've been looking for speaking of Weiland's, I was been looking for a particular wine that was an old favorite from California. It's actually one of the first twist-off caps, Bonnie Doon, Le Cigar Volant. And I asked about 10 stores if they had it. They all said no. But when I asked at Weiland's, they said, we don't have it, but I'd be happy to order it for you, and it'll be here in 3 days, which I thought was really cool.
Yep.
So people should just ask Jennifer, right?
Absolutely. And again, we're not a big box store, so ask us.
Are you going to be open on July 4th?
Yeah, you know, want to know why? Because it's a Saturday,
yeah.
And for us to close operations on a Saturday and then try to reopen, I will say that we have cut down our hours from they're 10 to 7 every day versus 9 to 8 Monday through Saturday. We started that in mid-March again to maintain the mental health of our team. Really. Yeah. so yeah.
And
we do need a break.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And what are you doing for the 4th of July? Working?
Yes, Ann, I'll be working. we have to be here when our customers are here, and it's retail, baby. That's what it is.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Steve
Rich and I will be eating.
I will
be and feeding families. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
So tell us what when it comes to meats, Jennifer. What are the big sellers this time of year?
Well, of course, the main categories of beef, pork, chicken. I wanted to highlight a couple for you because we have some really, really, really nice Ohio pork. From up in by Mansfield. My dad always said it tastes like a pork tasted 30 years ago, so that's fantastic. Pork is a great value compared to beef. Beef is going crazy. Gerber chicken is always fantastic. We also have, we make our own sausages and brats, but I will tell you, we also have Carly's brats out of Bucyrus. I love Carly's Brat so much. It's a multi-generational company in Bucyrus. It's fantastic.
Well, I know so, Bucyrus is known for its brats. Is it Carly's that is the one?
It's Carly's. Yeah. That's okay. It. It's multi-generational. It's fantastic. So we have their brats. We also have Stress and Five Star Meats up in Cleveland. They bring Cleveland Five Star Meats. I mean, nobody makes kielbasa smoked sausages like the northern, our neighbors to the north. So that's fantastic. We are doing specialty burgers. We make our own black bean burgers, but we also came out with two new half pounders. So if you can finish that, you've had plenty of meat. half pound brisket burger and a half pound steak burger that's made out of steak. So, and I would be remiss with meat options if I did not mention we have a partnership. We've been working with North Market Spices with Ben and Kevin. They're fantastic. So we've brought in, I got tired of all the expensive spices that we had from other places, and North Star Spices, they bring in smaller packages. They have all kinds of great flavors of seasoning for meat, which I love those guys. I'm so happy to have them partnering with us. So it's great. Oh, and I would say Falters, you know, they've been around forever. They've been a great partner of ours for years and years and years. So they're fantastic.
You know, that's the thing with being independent. You can just do your own thing. And a lot of times it's local businesses that you're working with.
Yep. Yep. We like helping each other out, and that's it.
Hey, and this is Kent. We got a little hiccup here.
Okay.
We had a little hiccup, so I'm in Jennifer's office
okay.
now. This one phone, okay? Just
yeah.
So you know
yeah.
I'm here.
Okay.
It's fine. We're all good.
Okay. You're listening to All Sides Weekend Chefs in the City. My guests are sharing a phone right now. Kent Rand, cheesemonger at Weiland's Market. And also the owner of Weiland's Market in Clintonville, Jennifer Williams. And, of course, with me, my co-hosts, Steve Stover and Rich Terapak Sr. Couldn't do it without you. If you want to check out their blogs on WOSU, you know, their restaurant and food blogs at WOSU, go to WOSU.org/chefs, and you'll find it there. Questions or comments, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Do you shop at Weiland's? What do you love about it? Give us a call.
Jennifer?
Steve Stover.
Yes.
No. Or is that Rich? Who is that?
It's Rich.
Oh,
Jennifer,
Rich.
You guys have lots of prepared product that looks terrific, and I know it's very popular. For your customers, do you also do what seems to be popular for picnic like settings, and that might there might be some of those for the 4th of July, are the charcuterie platters. Do you offer any of that in a carry out fashion?
Well, I'll take that one if you don't mind.
Go ahead, Kent.
Because I'm responsible for making those charcuterie and antipasto platters. And I must say they're wonderful. We make them right at the last minute, so they'll hold up pretty good if you keep them refrigerated, then you can bring them outdoors. But the charcuterie platter has salami, capicola, all about five different cured meat, and you're welcome to. There's a set number of cheeses and things, but those aren't written in stone. Nothing's really written in stone here at Weiland's. They're just something to kind of go by to give you an idea of what we can do.
Mm-hmm.
And we can put like an all Ohio charcuterie board together for you just as easily as we can. That what is written on our to go catering menu.
I know, Kent. Kent Rand, that you're one of a few who has been particularly certified as a cheesemonger. You've passed a very difficult test and that sort of a thing. What is your sense about how well educated people are about cheese?
Well, I am really quite surprised how educated they are about cheese. There's a lot of our customers that are here that are quite concerning. They're well-read and they're well-traveled around the world, a lot better than I am. So it's a two-way street. I learn a lot about from them, and they learn a lot about from me also. So it's a wonderful exchange. They'll come back from Europe looking for a cheese they tried over there, And it's one of the way we keep our inventory changing, because anytime someone wants a certain cheese to come in, I'll do my best to get that cheese in. That's how we change our inventory all the time.
And I'm just going to say one thing real quick. The Ohio cheese and charcuterie is fantastic. I mean, people are doing really, really great things. As Kent said, I think he broke up on it. We're a member of the Ohio Cheese Guild. Uh-huh. Ohio cheese and charcuterie has nothing to apologize for, nothing to even, I mean, our cheeses are right up there with the best anywhere, and they are well worth the try. They are delicious.
Let's see. Here's Pam in Columbus. You're on the air. Hi, Pam.
Hi, Ann. Hey, I just wanted to make a comment. I am an avid shopper of Weiland's, and Jennifer knows me. I'm there since this pandemic started. I only go to a big box store for the, of course, toilet paper, paper towels, and things like that.
Yeah.
But I have, thank goodness for them, I have not had to venture more than half a mile from my home for food and things that I've needed because of Weiland's. And they make everybody feel very, very important. And Jennifer is a prime aspect of that. She knows who I am if she sees me. But I really wanted to give them a shout out and how much I appreciate them during this period of time and how important they've been for me to be able to, observe the rules.
Ah, exactly. It feels safe.
Yes.
And yummy. Thanks, Pam, for that call. Jennifer, sound familiar?
Thanks, Pam. Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you, Pam.
Steve or Rich, any questions?
Well, it's now time to be thinking about the 4th of July.
Mm-hmm.
And when we cook at home, we forage. We have to go out and forage. Often going to 10 different stores for one meal.
Yes.
And however, I do think that we should support our local grocers. And I think the Weiland's has one of the most amazing selections of everything that you would need for cooking at home or for a party. But we haven't talked about, are there some interesting cuts of meat that people are trying now for the holiday, something different? It's time to fire up the old grill,
Jennifer?
Yeah, I'm going to give you guys a steak option for you. It's called a bistro steak.
Okay.
Bistro steaks, I call them the poor man's filet, because the filets, everybody buys filets, especially around the holidays. The prices are crazy right now.
Yeah.
It's an okay cut of meat. It's fine. But everybody buys them. So it's like standing rib at the holidays. The prices go up. They're crazy. Bistro steaks are still a sleeper. The price is compellingly lower, but do not think it is like bad because it's cheaper. And I mean between $12 to $13.99 a pound versus $25 and up $99 a pound. It is a cut from the shoulder. Yes. And don't think it's cheap and it's not good. It's delicious. Uh-huh. I would rather eat a bistro steak all day long than a filet. It's a shoulder cut. It's got more flavor. It's got more texture. My husband's been cutting meat since he was 14 in Cleveland. He will not touch a filet. He's a ribeye guy, but he loves bistros. We grill them and put them in the hot case on the weekends. We put them on salads. We put them on sandwiches. So bistros, you can cook them two different ways. We cut like a filet on a skewer, but then there's a longer piece. I will unequivocally recommend those all day long.
Okay, that's I'm going to check it out.
Yeah. I just had one last weekend, cooked it over a wood fire, and it was outstanding. And I echo what Jennifer said about the fact that it has more flavor than a tenderloin and is as tender.
So what does it look like? I mean, is it thick like a tenderloin would be?
Mine was...
Yeah, I mean, go ahead, Rich.
The one I had was like thin it was an 8 ounce, 8/10 of a pound. And it was sort of a little long, thin piece.
Okay. More like a skirt.
So you can buy it two ways. The long, thin piece is, if you can picture a pork tenderloin, it's pretty close to that, although smaller.
Okay.
Then we will trim the ends off and make them into fillets, looking things.
Okay.
So a thicker on a skewer, if you want to do it that way. So it's really a great cut of meat. I people can't believe how good they are.
Okay.
So.
Well, Jennifer,
are you sourcing those cuts from local suppliers?
Those are Black Angus choice cut, the top 5% of meat in the U.S. We do not do a lot of local meat because a lot of the producers want to sell us the whole animal. And most of our customers like the primal cuts that they can make steaks and stuff from. That's the customer preference. So, unfortunately, we do not do a lot of the local stuff. I'm sorry. I wish we could.
Yeah.
We were getting Ohio.
You do a lot of.
Go ahead. Sorry.
You do a lot of local stuff for the cheeses and the wines and just about everything else. So. I think you can get a pass for not buying a whole animal.
Okay, yeah. Thank you. And then if I have a couple of other local things that I would like to shout out, and if there is time,
go ahead.
I will.
Yeah, do it now because we are running out, but I want you to do it now.
Great. Couple quick things. We are the only retail store anywhere except for Pittsburgh. You can buy Ezo, Cup and Char, Pepperoni. And their salami, I've had a lot of salami. I love salami. It's the best salami I've ever had in my life. Those guys are in Columbus. They do a lot of pizza shop stuff. But the Ezos, it's a third or fourth generation company in Columbus. Love them. They're great guys, great partners. I also would tell you that the peach truck is going to be here tomorrow. They're out of Georgia, but it's not local, but I want to tell that.
I've done the peach truck every year, but you have to reserve it, right?
Yeah, you have to pre-reserve, and they're sold out for our stop tomorrow.
Yeah.
However, we have probably 200 boxes of peaches. Those guys are great that we are going to bring in after the truck leaves. We open at 10.
Ooh.
I will tell you guys, I was telling Steve the other day, last year I ate my weight practically in peach truck peaches, but there's a peach truck cookbook. They had a recipe for peach caprese. So I took peaches. Fresh mozzarella, and I drizzled balsamic on it, and I'm going to tell you what, I could not stop eating it.
Do you do like a mint with it or basil or?
Well, their cookbook suggested tomato and basil. I did not, or I just didn't feel like it. So I went right for peaches, balsamic, and mozzarella.
Gotcha. Oh my gosh.
I'm telling you guys. It's fabulous. And we were so excited last year. The owners of the peach truck visited us during one of our stops, which was fantastic. So that's two. The Ezo, the peach truck are really two, like, really fantastic things. And, you know, there's so much more on my list, but I'll stop talking.
Well, I guess they'll just have to go and visit you. Jennifer and Kent, I have to say, you have passed the test. You have made me extremely hungry just talking to you. So that's kind of our litmus test here on Chefs in the City. So Jennifer Williams, owner of Weiland's Market in Clintonville, and also Kent Rand, cheesemonger at Weiland's Market. Thanks to both of you for joining us today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. It's been an honor to be on. We appreciate it.
You bet.
Thank you.
All right. We will get to the news of restaurants in Central Ohio with Steve Stover, our WSU food critic and restaurant blogger, and also Rich Terapak, his partner in those crimes, Rich Terapak Sr. So if you have some news you want to share about a restaurant, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides Weekend Chefs in the City. I'm your host, Ann Fisher, along with co-hosts, WOSU restaurant and food bloggers Rich Terapak Sr. and Steve Stover. Most Central Ohio restaurants have reopened since the shutdown in March, but not all. John Barker, president of the Ohio Restaurant Association, said that the latest weekly poll shows only 20% of all respondents expect to break even in 2020. And 9% of the 23,000 eateries in the state remain closed with no plans to reopen. You know, Steve Stover, you work hard to get the news together for us for the show to tell people what's up. What's the news? What do we need to know right now?
Well, most importantly, last month we talked about the fact that more than half of Columbus's top 10 restaurants have not yet reopened. I'm pretty confident that most will, but I thought that was interesting that some of our finest restaurants are not opening. They're, I think they're surveying the lay of the land. But on the other hand, when you see that some of the very best restaurants in New York, Jean Georges and others, are doing carry out and others are selling wine at retail, that gives you a sense of what things are. But the good news is Zicacina is open, and it was recently named the top Italian restaurant in the Columbus Monthly Readers Poll. And by the way, did you know that Ann Fisher was named the top talk show host in Columbus Monthly?
Well, I did know that. Pretty spectacular, isn't it?
Applause for Ann.
Has nothing to do with her her guests, at least not the two of us.
No, I'm sure it has everything to do with Chefs in the City. Don't be silly, but thank you, you goofballs.
Congratulations, Ann.
Okay.
It's great, Ann.
It's an honor, of course.
The is open. And they're also doing some cool stuff. We did a carry out one night, and we had they have a lovely charcuterie plate that is house made and some house made cheeses. And they also have a date night special, which is four courses for two and a bottle of wine for $65, and one of the best happy hours in town.
You know, I think sent us an article. Or maybe somebody included it in my packet. If the headline is, if you're tempted to publicly criticize your restaurant takeout order, here's a thought. Don't. It's by food critic Tom Sietsma of The Washington Post. And he's saying this is just not the time to be doing that. How do you feel about that, Rich Terapek Sr.?
Well, I feel that that's probably true. It's kind of that under these circumstances, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all, unless there's something really awful about what's going on in the carry out. You know, if the health conditions are not good, if they're pushing inferior product constantly, then you might have to warn your friends and neighbors. But but otherwise, say nice things about the ones you like.
But also, the first thing you should do if you have something that's non-satisfactory is tell the restaurant, because they can't correct it if you don't talk to them first. They say that, you know, if you don't talk to them, you may tell 20 other people and harm the restaurant on something that was a mistake or could easily be corrected.
Well, you know, an example that I think that people should be aware of is this Santa Monica, California restaurant, a customer complained that the matzo ball soup wasn't enough. And the owner said that they agreed it wasn't enough, but it's the same amount you get when you're in the restaurant. It just looks differently in the takeout container. And, you know, they have to make a living. They have these narrow margins, as we've talked about many times before. So maybe to be aware of that.
Yeah, exactly, and you're lucky to get the same amount you got you can get in the restaurant, because they also have to buy the containers that they're giving.
Oh, so, yeah, the containers, boy, I'll tell you, yeah. The styrofoam's killing me. Yeah. But well, you know, I don't know. I guess they're all doing what they can. I don't think anyone's out there trying to snub their customers at this point in the game.
No, and I think now more than ever, we should be out there supporting our Columbus restaurants. And I'm going out of the way to, we do carry out right now because of our age, but we're doing more carry out than we've done before, particularly from the restaurants that are locally owned. Mm-hmm. We want to support them, and we want to support the people that are doing the right thing and made from scratch quality. Mm-hmm. I tip much more than I ever have, mm-hmm. because I know how difficult it is for them at this time.
We just don't want to lose anymore. It's so sad. Now, you said Wolf's Ridge Brewing opened up for dinner.
Yes. It opened just a week ago. And they're open Thursday through Saturday for dinner, and Saturday and Sunday for brunch. So it's a limited schedule. Mm-hmm. But there's, again, a perennial top 10 restaurant that we're glad to have back. And Alquiria Farmhouse.
Yeah.
Over on King Avenue, the two former chefs from Barcelona, they're reopened. So there is some good news out there. Windward Passage is going to open. Rich?
Yep. And the thing about the Wolf's Ridge is it's a big place.
Yeah.
And I think you feel fairly secure that you can socially distance well. They've got, I don't know how many square feet they have, but it's a big place. And a number of these are, able to accommodate perhaps 70% of their capacity.
That's a good point, Rich. I think it was Club 185 that installed dividers, mm-hmm. and they went across the street to a print shop and had these really cool artistic things done. And they said that they're up to 75% of capacity, which would be huge. So expect to see more dividers and plexiglass things, because I think that's how they can increase capacity.
Right.
Yeah. And as Cameron Mitchell said, 75%, if he got 75% in a restaurant on Tuesday or Wednesday before this happened, he would think he's making money. So 75% can keep them going pretty well.
Right. Right. The New Harvest is opening up in German Village. They kept the one open in Clintonville, right? But they shut.
Yes. And Dublin, Clintonville are both open. Okay. And this is in the old location, Rich.
What'd you say, Rich?
Pardon me?
It's in the old still location.
The new one in the brewery district is Westie's old location, which also has a giant patio. You can feel safe going there as well. And it's great to have an expansion of Harvest again.
And Center Street Market in Hilliard is open. It's got there are going to be 8 or 10 or a dozen different food outlets. It's the anchor is a Crooked Can Brewing Company from Florida. And there's a coffee place, cheesecake place, bakery, a wing and taco place, and a dumpling space, among others. And there's a thing called the Mid-City Garage. I haven't been there. It's in Jaeger in Marion Village, which is south of Thurman. And it's a former auto repair shop. But it's the same guy, George Tanchevsky, who owns South Village Grill, Local Cantina, Joni's Sushi, and Old School. So it ought to be good.
Okay.
Which are all good, yeah. One of the things I want to mention, there are some continuing sad news that you can't ignore, the article on Cafe Phoenix on Gay Street this morning, who tried to open, but because they're urban and because nobody is going downtown to work anymore, they had a very difficult time. There are a lot of urban dwellers who I think are in those apartments all over the place, and I just encourage them to please support the people downtown. Mm-hmm. That's a very rough market right now, and it needs your support, and you can walk to them.
We've mentioned before that Sycamore and Koseka Casino are both for sale. Total bummer. Juniper Rooftop Restaurant and Bar, Dock 580 and the Smith Brothers Hardware Building closed down. That was a nice space.
That's true.
Yeah, it's one of the great rooftop bars.
Yeah. Which was
and the 580 was very popular for reception. So I imagine when weddings were shut down, at least large ones, they just couldn't take it.
I think we were going to do this month, maybe we were still going to do holiday, but we were also thinking about a rooftop and a restaurant and bar coverage. There's so many now, but then we just don't know. And hopefully the time will come when we can get back to that topic again instead of the survivorship conversation we have once a month, right, these days.
But I'm glad to hear that there are so many of our favorites are open. Rich's, Giuseppe's is back open, yep. Barcelona, mm-hmm. the Market Italian Village,
Lupo.
And then the other two restaurants owned by Josh Dalton, who owns Veritas, the number one restaurant in Columbus, mm-hmm. Speck Eatery, which I want to go to. It's supposed to be really, it's an Italian place, and 1808. And Hot Chicken Takeover is open in the North Market in Easton.
I think I said the Whitney House is open. They contacted me after our last show in Worthington. Yep.
And four Cameron Mitchell's, Del Mar, Lincoln Social, Guild House, and Martini are open. So that's cheery.
Mm-hmm. So Plated in Upper Arlington.
Oh, yeah. So Plated. Because they were boarded up sort of like there was paper in the windows on Lane Avenue. So on one more, on Father's Day, we had a quiche and croissant from Pastacia Vera for our Father's Day brunch, and they are back open for carry out.
Right.
Yeah. Get there early.
Yeah. You know,
one of the issues with the rooftop bars that they're going to have to struggle with is how many people get on the elevator at the same time.
Oh boy, that's right.
And so I'm sure they're working that out. Lincoln Social must have already figured it out.
They have an elevator monitor. There are two or three people that stand there and greet you when you go in the building, and then they could probably control it. I think that's probably better than most others. You can walk to the rooftop bar at Jonathan Sawyer's Seesaw.
And BrewDog and those places.
Hey, you guys, we're just about out of time, but Steve, I wondered if you could talk about this picnic pack thing they're doing in Dublin real quick. The Columbus Navigator reported that.
There are something like 30 restaurants that are providing Dublin restaurants that are providing picnic packs, which again, picnics can be fun because we may be getting tired of not only our dining area but our backyard. So get out and go to the state parks, which are now open, I believe. There are lots of good locations. Mm-hmm. Columbus Navigator does a good job of putting out the locations that are particularly beautiful and wonderful. So,
and you can go to visitdublin.com to get information on what restaurants are involved and what they're offering and what some of the parks in Dublin that you can go to if you'd like to have a
right. I mean, the Metro Park system, if you don't want to go all the way to a state park, Metro Park system's great. So check that out. I want to thank you, Steve Stover, and Rich Terapak Sr., as always, for helping me out on our All Sides Weekend Chefs in the City. Thank you.
Thank you.
Again, Ann, congratulations.
Thank you so much. I want to thank the All Sides staff, too, producer Aaron Esmont, producer Matt Rand, our All Sides interns, Atiyah Turi, Bobby Gerberic, and Max Garrison, with video production by Nick Payne, board operation by Herb Hohenstein and Scott Good. Alan DiCenzo is a composer of our theme music, WSU News and Public Affairs Director Mike Thompson, Radio Operations Director Kevin Petrilla, and Senior Broadcast Technician Eric French. Be sure to like All Sides on Facebook and follow the show on Twitter at WOSU All Sides. You can follow me, too, at Ann Fisher WOSU. And don't forget to check out the food blogs and the reviews by Steve Stover and Rich Terapak Sr. at WOSU.org/chefs. Thanks for listening. This is All Sides Weekend Chefs in the City on 89.7 NPR News. Mm-hmm.